Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene, whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
Good morning. It's Saturday morning. That means it's time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive-related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene each and every week here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team. We invite you to get involved by calling 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all of the action. Whether it has two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports-related activities with a full hour here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team. Hey, Jimmy Johnson's performance in the first six races this season was uncharacteristic of the seven-time Monster Energy Cup Series champion. He had only one top finish and a ninth place showing at Phoenix. Johnson may have turned his season around at Texas, where he worked his way up from the rear of the field to win his first race of the season and 81st of the career. The Californian's seven victories at Texas are the most in track history. Six of the wins has come in the last 10 races at the Fort Worth track. With the victory, Johnson earned a five playoff points, now sits 11th in points standing, 125 points behind Kyle Larson. And let me tell you, what was really impressive about that race is, once again, everybody's counting Jimmy Johnson out. How do you count a guy out that's won seven championships? I mean, you know, basically talk about, oh, Jimmy's too old, Jimmy's too washed up. Let me show you what a superstar this guy is. Now, granted, I'm the one that has said on the radio that I think he's boring and he's a problem for NASCAR, and that's why nobody likes him. He's from California. There's a whole bunch of reasons. But his dirt track background, his off-road racing background, I mean, the guy, you know, his water thing was out, and so he wasn't getting hydrated, had to go to the urgent care there on the facility after the race. I mean, if you don't think that this guy's tough, if you don't think these guys are athletes, then I actually dare you to get in a car and do what he did. But Jimmy Johnson, once again, qualifies for the chase. You better look out, because there is a chance that maybe he's going to get an eighth championship. And then we'll really have to start the conversation of, like, who is the greatest stock car driver of all time. And I tell you, it's going to be hard to count out Jimmy Johnson. Let's get back to talking about Kyle Larson, though. Racking up points, Larson logs another runner-up finish. Kyle Larson continued his breakout season at Texas with his fourth runner-up showing. The result marked his fifth top two finish in the last six races. Only four other drivers have logged as many top two finishes as Larson's five through the first seven races of the season. Of course, you don't have to remember far. Back 2015, Kevin Harvick had five. Dale Earnhardt Jr. had five in 1987. Bobby Allison, which was just the master at stringing together top five finishes, he had five in both 1972 and 1979, and of course, Cale Yarborough back in 1974 got it done. The number 42 Chevy driver has an average finish of 5.4 in the Monster Energy Cup Series, but more importantly, he leads the point standings by 17 over second place Chase Elliott. You got Martin Truex Jr., 40, back in third, followed by Brad Keselowski at 41, and Joey Logano, 72. Ryan Blaney, despite a seventh-place finish, Blaney blazes at Texas, winning both stages to earn two playoff points and leading a race high of 148 laps. He stayed out on the track following a caution with seven laps in stage two, a move that allowed him to win the stage but took him out of contention to take the checkered flag for the race. Blaney had to pit under the caution that ended the stage due to a tire rub and couldn't work his way back to the front in the 20th position. And so that what is very interesting about that, that is really the first test of how this system is working, because there was a lot of debate with there was a caution. It was something like five to go in that stage. And, you know, some people went in because they knew there were going to be another caution and it was going to reset the field. They rolled the dice. They went for it. And with as strong as that car was, I think it was a good move. I think it was a way to try it and see if they could make their move back to the front. And not only that, I mean, you know, for a young driver to, you know, to win, whether it's a stage or, you know, ultimately, of course, win a race, I think it was a good move. But I think it was also a fantastic test. What was absolutely amazing was him dooring you know, one of the other guys out there, because he kind of drove him up the track. And it just showed that he is all in on this. Dale Earnhardt Jr. records first top 10 of 2017. Dale Jr. headed into Texas with a season-best finish of 16th in Las Vegas. The six races to start the season off without a top 10 was his longest drought of his career. He ended that drought on Sunday with a fifth-place showing at the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 at Texas Motor Speedway, the site of his first career win in 2000. That was 17 years ago. The Lone Star State has treated Earnhardt well lately. The number 88 Hendrick Motorsports driver has posted a top six finish in his last five starts at Texas. The top five showing for Earnhardt's first since a runner-up position at Pocono last June. Let's talk a little bit about the upcoming All-Star race. NASCAR and Charlotte Motor Speedway announced the format for the 2017 Monster Energy All-Star race on May 20th at Charlotte Motor Speedway. The contest rewards winning and incorporates a fascinating strategy component. The race will feature four stages. Now, when they announced this, I had missed the first part that this was about the All-Star race, and I thought already we were going to four stages. And I thought, oh my gosh, I mean, NASCAR has gone through so many changes that already they've changed the stage format. So then I calmed down and waited and found out, okay, this is about the All-Star race. But we all know that NASCAR does things, tries things, and then they implement them, and they've been implementing a lot of them fast. So the four stages, they're going to have three 20-lap stages and then a final 10-lap shootout, total of 70 laps. The goal is to earn a final spot in the top 10 in the 10-car stages in the final stage. The winner of each stage, first three stages, will lock up a spot in the final stage as long as they remain on the lead lap after the third stage. The cars with the best average finish in the first three stages will make up the remaining spots needed in the 10-car final stage. The remaining 10 cars will be lined up by average finish of the three stages and option to pit. Exit off pit road determines the starting order of the final stage. The winner, of course, $1 million. Then there was this talk about being able to go to a softer compound tire, to a different type of tire, and see how that's going. And then that opened that whole Pandora's box about whether they were going to go to multiple compounds and other strategies, and, you know, talking about, well, you know, Formula One and IndyCar have been doing it. And so it'll be interesting to see if that's the next change that's coming. Let's talk a little Xfinity. Eric Jones, as a Monster Energy NASCAR Series rookie, is now considered a moonlighter when he races in the Xfinity Series. But his win Saturday at Texas Motor Speedway is important. When young drivers were just starting a Cup win in Xfinity, they regained some of their swagger that they had before they went to the Cup. The interesting thing about that comment is he has done fantastic at the Cup level, so it's going to be awesome to see how that continues to grow. Austin Dillon and Kyle Larson probably can attest to their first Xfinity wins in recent years help them know that they will have good days in their Cup finishes. Jones had a solid start to Cup season, and he sits 14th in the standing for Furniture Row Racing. He has an affiliation with Joe Gibbs Racing and drives Xfinity cars in select events. His win Saturday marked his second win at Texas while driving for the organization. Let's talk a little dirt track. Christian Bell went dirt track racing in Texas with a week off for trucks. And a week off for NASCAR Camping World Truck Series points leader Christopher Bell participated in the Texas Sprint Car Nationals at Texas Motor Speedway Saturday night. Bell raced alongside three-time Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion and Stuart Haas Racing owner Tony Stewart in Tony Stewart's Texas Sprint Car Nationals. Bell finished sixth in the B main, while Stewart finished fourth in the A main. And the big news, of course, this week was the announcement that Fernando Alonso is going to be driving in the Indy 500. So I wanted to pull a couple of stats and see what was significant about that. So looking at Formula One world champions that had a title that went to Indy and how they fared. Of course, some pretty big names. You got Jack Brabham, Graham Hill, Emerson Fittipaldi, Nelson Piquet, and of course the most recent was Nigel Mansell. How do they fare? Well, of course, you got a couple of guys that won. Graham Hill, of course, and if I'm not mistaken, that might be the first rear-engine IndyCar at that time, and it started the whole thing. And, of course, Emerson Fittipaldi's won two, 1989 and 1993. Nigel Mansell finished third in 1993. Then you also had where they went the other way, where they competed in the Indy 500 and then went on to win world titles. Jim Clark finished first in 1965 and won a world title in 63 and 65. A Formula One world title, but did his first Indy 500 back in 1963. Jackie Stewart, Mario Andretti, of course, Jacques Villeneuve, those are all names that had started at Indy and then went on to win a Formula One title. But anyway, we're going to talk some more about Alonso coming over and running at the Indianapolis, the 101st Indianapolis 500 with Tom McKeon on the other side. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Al Unser Jr. You're listening to ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Whether you're a Lobo, Husky, or Bulldog, for over 40 years, Clark's Pet Emporium has been helping families care for their pets. Fish, birds, cats, dogs, reptiles, and small animals. Clark's has built a tradition of friendly, knowledgeable service focused on quality pet care products at affordable prices. Locally owned and operated with two convenient locations for all your pet needs, including shot clinics without an appointment, 11200 Manal Northeast or 4914 Lomas Northeast. Clark's Pet Emporium will be your pet's favorite weekly stop. Clark's Pet Emporium, clarkspets.com.
What does it take to become a winner? You need speed, skill, a team that's got your back, and a whole lot of know-how. That's Napa Know-How.
It's raining cash at Route 66 every Saturday in April. Five contestants every hour from 5 to 9 p.m. win guaranteed cash and a chance to triple their winnings. It's April showers only at Route 66 Casino Hotel.
Hungry? Then you want WEX. WEX is the absolute best spot for breakfast and lunch. No wimpy, skimpy meals here. WEX serves you huge platters of home-cooked deliciousness. For breakfast, try their full-belly omelets, mouth-watering huevos rancheros, hot scratch-made buttermilk pancakes, and super big breakfast burritos. For lunch, check out WEX's giant belly-busting burgers and overstuffed sandwiches. I guarantee you'll never leave WEX hungry. 10 neighborhood locations open 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. to serve you. A full-belly tradition since 1991. Wow, WEX.
Car won't start? Call Car ER. Need your ride fixed right and at a fair price the first time? Call Car ER. When your vehicle needs help, even if it's not an emergency, call Car ER for complete auto and truck service. Locally owned and family operated, providing top quality service that is customer focused with professionalism and expertise. Teacher, military, and law enforcement discounts with pickup and delivery. 9620 Eagle Ranch Road, just south of Cottonwood Mall. Call 792-1242. Car-ER.net.
The new 2017 Lincoln Continental, an iconic nameplate that has defined luxury over the years. Now all new and readily available at Corley's Albuquerque Lincoln and arriving for your driving comfort with every attention to detail made. Just take its seating for one small example of the luxury comfort you will realize. With 30 ways of movement, the Continental's perfect position seat offers a uniquely comfortable experience. The seat pack actually conforms to you, articulating forward to cradle you, taking stress off your shoulders, making the drive the best part of your day. And with the addition of heating, cooling, and massage, the simple act of sitting down becomes an elevating experience. The 2017 Lincoln Continental. Cool, calm, and decidedly continental. Come see for yourself with an extended test drive at Corley's Albuquerque Lincoln on I-25 just north of Alameda, or visit us online at CorleyNewMexico.com. Thank you.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.17. Hey, quick programming note, coming up at 9 a.m., you have FM Sports Saturday. 10 a.m., you have the Steam High School Show with Gary Heron. 11 a.m. is the Henry T. Show. At noon, we're going to have Missouri State versus UNM and college baseball. 7 p.m., Los Angeles Dodgers at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Tomorrow at 2 p.m., we'll have the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Arizona Diamondbacks. And at 6 p.m., we're going to have the St. Louis Cardinals versus the New York Yankees. So stay tuned. Enjoy your Easter weekend listening to ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. All right, and so the big announcement, April Fool's joke came on April 12th with Fernando Alonso announcing he's going to run in the Indy 500. Actually, I didn't think it was a joke at all. Big fan of Fernando Alonso, but would like to talk about the impact of what it's going to look like. So joining the show is producer for Mike and Mike and Formula One extraordinaire, Tom McKeon. How you doing this morning, Tom?
I'm great. I appreciate the extraordinaire there.
Well, I figure us, you know, writers, we got to embellish a little bit, right? You know,
and of course,
and make it sound a little bit bigger than it is. But I mean, this is big news. I mean, you know, when you actually go back and you look, I mean, there's some pretty prominent names. Of course, you know, Mario Andretti. I just went through the whole family. Mario Andretti. Actually, I mean, I think that part of his, you know, world-renowned status as you know, the biggest name, biggest driver in the world came because he came over the Indianapolis 500 and won the race. And, of course, then they've talked about the Andretti curse after that, that they just can't seem to get it done. But this is big news, and I think it's exciting. One, it gets a dialogue, Americans talking about Formula One, for one, even if they don't know who this Fernando Alonso guy is after two world championships. But what are your thoughts? I mean, what's the good and the bad in this story?
Let's start with the good. I want to stay positive as long as I can here. It was awesome to see the news. I mean, it was pretty jarring when you looked at the headline. I had to look at it a couple times and to really process, oh, wow, he's really going to be doing this, and he's really going to be taking a race off to do this, not any race, Monaco. That's pretty crazy. You don't
right.
see that. You don't see drivers in F1 taking time off to compete in other races, even in an off weekend. So for him to go over and do this during Monaco is really cool from our perspective, because we get to see what an F1 driver can do. An F1 driver in Fernando Alonso, who has admitted himself, never really raced on a super speedway, never raced in any car. He'll have like 2 weeks of practice to get up to speed. I think he can do it. He's going to be with Andretti Autosport, which should prepare a great car for him, competitive enough. It's just, I mean, you and I know these are two very different open wheel series. So I've been saying, you know, to you for a while, Alonso could easily still be the best driver in F1. We just don't really have the opportunity to see it with McLaren's struggles. He's been, languishing 8th through 15th on the grid, but he's been getting probably the most possible out of that car. He's had 2 DNFs this year, no fault of his own, was running in the top 10 in China before he got that DNF. So I still think he absolutely is one of the more talented people on the grid. I think he can do really well there. That's the positive. As for the negative, it kind of, as good as it is for McLaren to be branching out, that's what we always want to see. Zach Brown now running the show there. Ron Dennis is out, so it means they're expanding their motorsport footprint. That's awesome, but what does it say when their premier driver is skipping Monaco, is skipping an F1 race to go compete in Indy? That team is that bad and struggling that much this year that it's okay to do that. Can you imagine them allowing him to do this if they were competing for podiums? I don't think there's any way.
Well, I think you're exactly right. Is if they had a chance at winning Monaco, they wouldn't risk that. But I mean, risking it, I mean, they got Jenson Button's jumping in the car. So I mean, you know, talk about it, you know, a great backup to have. He's got a great opportunity. But yeah, really, I mean, even Verstappen came out and said that given good equipment, I mean, you know, that Alonso would have a better shot. But with the equipment he's had. And so you got to wonder kind of what the longer-term plans for McLaren is. They even came out and said that they were interested maybe a return to IndyCar, There was even some talk about, you know, whether they would, you know, run the 24-hour Le Mans, you know, and Fernando said that he'd like to have the Triple Crown on his resume. I mean, that talk about going outside the box. I mean, it's been a long time since a manufacturer, you know, was making an attempt at all three of the big races.
David, no doubt. And funny enough, you mentioned Le Mans, and it's been on Alonso's radar for a while as the Triple Crown of Motorsport. Graham Hill is the only legend to have done it, to win the Indy 500, to win Monaco, and to win Le Mans. I think the easier, and mind you, I say easier in context here,
right,
but the more realistic shot for him is to win Le Mans. I think he could do that. I mean, we saw Nico Hülkenberg do that 2 years ago. So I think he could definitely accomplish that as long as he gets with a good ride, like a Porsche, a Toyota. If he gets put in that good position, I think the transition to sports car racing for him would be fairly a breeze. I think the Indy one is going to be much tougher, even though it's open wheel to open wheel. But heck, if he has a good showing here this year, there's no telling why he couldn't go back to Indy and really try this again. And if he manages to get the 500 under his belt, hey, we saw Alexander Rossi do it last year.
Right.
If he manages to get that Indy 500 win under his belt, I think the Triple Crown is a distinct possibility.
Yeah, it's funny. I just had a pop-up alert that in practice three, just had Verstappen take the top time. So it looks like Verstappen's trying to wreck the party for Ferrari and Mercedes, which, of course, you know, with the Hamilton Vettel story has been really exciting this year, especially with Vettel getting that first podium right out of the box. I mean, it's a good-looking battle, and Bottas even is kind of like out of the conversation right now. This could be a very exciting season to actually see some manufacturers actually scrapping away at it.
No doubt. It's only two races in, so it's tough to tell yet what Bottas' potential is. He spun under the safety car in China and really had to claw his way back to get a decent finishing position. So I think he'll be in the mix later on in the year, too. I watched Hamilton's performance in China, and he got the grand slam. You know, he got the win from pole and the fastest lap, led every lap. That's really rare to do in F1. So it did concern me a little that this could have shades of last year with Mercedes, but it does look like Ferrari has taken a step forward enough where, I mean, heck, Vettel won the opener. He is very competitive. Raikkonen is competitive as well. We'll see where Red Bull is. They're kind of, on the back foot right now, but that was positive. Yeah, in free practice three with Verstappen leading the way. I mean, his performance in China was unreal. He came from like 16th or 17th on the grid and finished on the podium. It's just, that's the kind of guy he is. And, you know, I feel bad for people who don't necessarily root for him, because they're going to be rooting against him probably for a long time in F1.
Absolutely. But Bahrain racing this weekend, and Kimi Raikkonen has 8 podiums there and no wins. I mean, what's the story there?
Yeah, it's just so tough to pick him again to win this year, because I feel like, even though he is still a really strong driver, don't get me wrong, Vettel just has the upper hand on him, and it's shown the last couple of years. So it'd be tough to pick him. You'd almost have to, if you did that, assume something was going to go wrong with Vettel, almost like it did last year. Vettel didn't even make the start of the race. His engine gave out on the warm-up lap.
Yeah.
I think Bahrain is a ton of fun now. It's so much better that they moved it to the night setting. Cooler temperatures. It's become better racing. We saw Hamilton and Rosberg over the years, wheel to wheel. Some great fights there. So I'm hoping we see something like that again. It's a cool track. I really do like it from a fan's perspective. And moving it to the night has made it so much better of a show. And selfishly, it's on at like 11 Eastern over here, which is perfect for me, so I can see it in the morning.
Absolutely. You don't have to get up extra early. I mean, you already get up early, you know, working on Mike and Mike every day during the week. But let's kind of expand this conversation a little bit. Of course, you know, with Haas getting into Formula One, there was always, you know, there was some talk there about, hey, when might we see some Formula One drivers actually running in NASCAR? It was interesting. They did a poll and they asked, you know, what drivers would you like to see from other forms of racing? Of course, Lewis Hamilton was number one, and there was that whole conversation last couple of days because, you know, wasn't a bunch to talk about over in NASCAR. So they were talking about Lewis Hamilton. But the second most popular driver was actually Daniel Ricciardo. And there's a connection between Daniel Ricciardo and Dale Earnhardt Sr. I didn't know if you were familiar that he already has an offer from Dale Jr. to come and drive an Xfinity car anytime he wants. What are your thoughts about whether we would ever see a Formula One guy actually attempt the Daytona 500?
As cool as Alonso going over to Indy would be, this would be even cooler for me from a personal standpoint. Ricciardo runs that number three on his car for Dale Earnhardt. I mean, he knows the significance of what the Earnhardt family has done. He has that connection to NASCAR. I know Hamilton has been interested in the past of running a stock car, maybe on a road course. That would probably be the most natural fit. I think we need stuff like this. We don't see it anymore. You know, Alonso is one of the rare ones, one of the rare situations. We just don't see drivers changing series that much with contracts and obligations and sponsors now. Heck, we have Watkins Glen every year in August when F1 is off. Why not, if you can work it out, get Hamilton in a car, get Ricciardo in a car? I mean, it would be so cool. I would have low expectations just because it's such a dramatic transition. But, man, that kind of stuff is awesome. I miss, you know, series like IROC, which is used to have, you know, all the open-wheel guys, all the stock car guys, all competing in the same cars on super speedways. And that was really cool. And we have, like, the Race of Champions in January every year. But, you know, that's about it to see, like, guys like Vettel go up against guys like Sebastian Loeb in rally or wherever. You know, you don't get to see it very often.
Absolutely. Hey, man, appreciate you joining the show this morning, and wish you and your family a happy Easter.
You too. Thanks, David.
Awesome. But we got a whole lot more coming up, including we're going to be joined by Auto Week's Matt Weaver, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this Alonso going to the Indy 500, as well as, of course, we're going to talk Long Beach from last week. You've been listening to New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hey, Albuquerque, this is Graham Rahal, driver of the number 15 Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing Honda, and you're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope on ESPN Radio Albuquerque, 101.7 The Team.
Albuquerque Trikeway's 2017 season is off to a fast start. At Yearwood Performance's Street to Strip, you can bring your car out for street legal drags and test and tune time trails for only $20. With over 50 events, including two all-out call-outs and thrilling side-by-side action through November, go to abqdragway.com for a 2017 schedule now. Real Outlaw Door Slammers, Top Comp, Super Pro, Sportsmen's and Junior Dragsters. The 2017 season is underway. Don't miss a single minute. abqdragway.com. See you there. abqdragway.com.
What does it take to become a winner? You need speed, skill, a team that's got your back, and a whole lot of know-how. That's Napa Know-How.
Nestled in the beautiful North Valley with a spectacular garden patio, fresh and delicious margaritas with live music Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. It's Casa de Benavides in Albuquerque, the magazine's top five restaurant. Beautiful patio, authentic New Mexican food, Casa de Benavides, just south of Paseo on 4th Street.
New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine is the New Mexico Rods and Rides, with monthly full-color features such as the Business Spotlight, Reader Fever, and a complete listing of all New Mexico car clubs. Pick up a copy at any Napa stores in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Los Lunas, Boleyn, and even Socorro. Contributing columns such as Showtime, Old Time Fun, and the monthly cover car has made New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine a local favorite for over 6 years. Pick up the latest copy today.
Team R&S accelerates the fun. Please join us for the 4th annual Team R&S Power Sports Expo this Saturday, April 29th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and see the many exciting ways to accelerate your fun. We'll have information booths showcasing a wide variety of the power sports activities in our community. There's even enthusiasts just like you available to discuss everything from recreational riding to club activities to how to get involved in competitive events. There'll be organizations on hand to visit with you about your first steps from learning to ride to riding safely safely and responsibly throughout your lifetime of experiences. We're talking dirt bikes to sport bikes, cruisers, watercraft, ATVs, side-by-sides, and more. As always, the team from R&S will be there to help you navigate through the wide variety of exciting products available to get you out accelerating the fun today. It's the 4th Annual Team R&S Power Sports Expo this Saturday, April 29th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at R&S West on Coors just east of the Cottonwood Mall. TeamRNS.com. Accelerate the fun.
Trusting your equipment to perform when you need it is crucial. Rush Truck Center has one of the largest inventories of heavy and medium-duty trucks in New Mexico, and now in Farmington, too. Combined with the largest mobile service fleet, Rush Truck Center is your one-stop shop for sales, parts, and service. Rush Truck Center, the regional premier Peterbilt dealer, is the total solutions provider for all makes and models. Rush Truck Center, west of Coors on Hanover, just two blocks south of I-40, 800-357-6643, rushalbuquerque.com.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 1017 The Team. Going to have to wait till next weekend to get back to some local drag racing. Albuquerque Dragway's 2007 season is going on. And, of course, you know, they've got the Yearwood Performance Street to Strip going on out there. It's a street-legal drag racing and test and tune time trials. But they've got over 50 events, including two all-out call-outs this year with side-by-side racing action through November. Make sure you go over to abqdragway.com to pick up a 2017 schedule now. You can come check out Real Outlaw Door Slammers, Top Comp, Super Pro, Pro Sportsman, and Junior Dragsters. And I tell you, you don't want to miss a single season. The racing's already been great, and we're not too far away from the first rod show of the year. So keep it tuned here, and we'll keep you posted on that. Of course, whenever you're thinking about drag racing, you got to think about Yearwood Performance. It's been, since 1968, the home for Go Fast Parts, giving you the edge you need on the track and the street, knowledge of what to use and how to use it. They got all kinds of great stuff. You can go into either location. As a matter of fact, if you forgot a part or you're working on the car on Sunday, they are open on Sundays on the west side. 9674 Eagle Ranch Road on the west side. Buy local, save time and money, yearwoodperformance.com. All right, now joining the show this morning is Matt Weaver. How you doing this morning, Matt?
Hey, pretty good. It's the first real, not only NASCAR off weekend of the year, but really just first real off weekend for me in general, just because I do so much other non-national touring-related stuff. So to have a Saturday where I slept in until 10 o'clock and you know, plan to do nothing is okay by me, just a little bit, a couple of times a year.
Well, then I'm sorry I woke you up.
we were due is what we were, just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, last week, Long Beach, what a good race. One, I love the street course. That's probably one of my favorite. I actually was there several years ago before Allenser Jr. went and won four in a row there. So it's always been a special track for us New Mexicans. But tell us a little bit about James Hinchcliffe and what he put together to win that race last week.
Well, before I do, I just want to say I'm glad to hear you say that you thought it was a good race, and the reception to that race has been pretty positive. But being someone who comes from stock car land, from NASCAR land, it frustrates me sometimes because I don't cover a ton of IndyCar. I'm going to cover more IndyCar this year than I have in several years. And this remarkable thing happened on my Twitter where I started tweeting about the IndyCar race on Sunday and I lost like 17 followers, which is an arbitrary number. And I know it really doesn't matter, but it just blew my mind because I thought halfway through this race, it was really good. And the fact that it was a race that requires people to think a little bit, that requires people to kind of, you know, think about moving forward, which lap you've got to pit, your in lap, your out lap. It just frustrates me because right now NASCAR's product is admittedly really, really frustrating, which is why we're talking about multiple tire compounds, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, in a little bit.
Yep.
but the Aero package. IndyCar has this really captivating, pure racing product with really good personalities right now. And we're about to have one more of a heck of a personality in Fernando Alonso for the month of May. I just don't understand why so many people just naturally, without even thinking about it, reject IndyCar because it's just really good. Now, as for Hinchcliffe, he was able to pit one lap sooner than Ryan Hunter-Reay. That got him out front, and he was able to kind of control the race from there. But this is a big win for IndyCar. You know, IndyCar needs stars. I mean, that's one thing they don't have compared to NASCAR right now, is they don't have marketable stars. I think James Hinchcliffe, if he can become a contender, given what he did with Dancing with the Stars, coming back from that just near life-threatening crash in Indianapolis 2 years ago, that's star material. You've got Joseph Newgarden driving for Team Penske, an American, a Southern from Tennessee, driving for the best team in IndyCar. You've got the possibilities there to have some really captivating, you know, things that can get people's attention. Will Power is a star that people can relate to. He's brash. Elio Castroneves has been a star forever. So you put it all together right now, and I think IndyCar is in a really good place heading towards the month of May.
Yeah, I think that IndyCar is actually, because of all they went through, clear with the split, clear back with CART, and the different things, that the struggles that they've gone through, I think actually have put them in a stronger position right now. Their expectation, I think, is more in line. NASCAR, who had almost, you know, in spite of themselves, had become the fourth, fifth most popular sport in the country, you know, now is having to actually struggle with formats. And, I mean, they're doing so many. I mean, you, with your short track background, too, you got to chuckle a little bit to look at, I mean, these stage races and how all that stuff is actually mimicking the local short tracks. And they had totally become disconnected to the short track community, almost like it's like, you know, we're in a different field. Where do you think all those guys came from? You know, for instance, Kyle Larson. I mean, the sprint cars. I mean, actually on NASCAR X Sirius XM earlier this week, the guy said, "Well, I'm not really into Ed Chocolate Myers. I'm not really into sprint car racing. I don't know much about it, you know, I can see how people like it." And I'm thinking, how did we lose the disconnect with open wheels through sprint car? Because you're absolutely right. IndyCar has a fantastic product. It's just there's not enough educational process as to what they're looking at. And I think that there's some tremendous opportunities. And NASCAR is going to have to watch out a little bit because they don't know how to handle the lack of viewership. So there's my rant. Thank you for opening the door on that. But let's do talk about a few things that NASCAR could learn. And you talked about the soft compound tires, the different compound tires in there. They're talking about that actually coming into the All-Star race. I mean, what are your thoughts on, do you think that they're going to be able to adapt to that and embrace that in the same way that IndyCar does?
Yeah, it's funny to me because we just talked about just now, you know, all the ways that NASCAR is trying to finally, you know, dip into short track mentality and short track culture to try to spice up the race formats a little bit with stage-based racing, double file restarts over the past decade. The playoff format came from the old Hooters Pro Cup. So,
right.
You know, there's a large number of NASCAR fans and NASCAR media that just infuriate me because they said, we don't need to be doing what Formula One and IndyCar is doing. Well, it's like, Jesus, you know, you guys are adopting from everything else, so why not adopt from open wheel racing and multiple tire compounds? Forget for a second that you're quote-unquote borrowing it from someone else. Don't forget, we have group qualifying, too. That's open wheel. But to me, I don't care who came up with it first. If it makes your racing product better, you do that. And Goodyear, I've talked to several Goodyear people, and they say they are up to the challenge of creating dual compounds that create different amounts of fall-off, that create different speeds, and in theory should open up passing. If you can do that, let's do that. And I think we're going to try that at the Charlotte Motor Speedway All-Star Race, and it's practically going to be a test for the 2018 season. Steve O'Donnell, NASCAR's competition vice president and kind of head honcho of competition, said that this is something they've wanted to do for several years, but they needed the aero package. You know, we're taking all this downforce off to basically catch up to the tire. So now that we're here, with this aero package. Now it's time to address the tire problem. And having multiple tire compounds is probably a way to encourage passing, because right now we're all on the same tire. It's a spec tire. And it's just so hard to pass when you're all on the same tire. And I think we can't unlearn what we've learned on the aero side, and we all know the same thing on the aero side. So this might be like the last great bastion of passing opportunities in NASCAR, and I encourage them fully to go through with it, and I'm excited to see not only what it produces for the All-Star race, but also moving forward. I would encourage fans to just be very patient. If it doesn't work out or there's some major flaw that teams uncover during the All-Star race, it's very important that we don't poo-poo NASCAR, because, you know, they are very much a knee-jerk reaction sanctioning body, and I think this is something that should be explored, and it's going to take time, and it's not something that you figure out how to do with just one All-Star race.
Well, here's an off-the-cuff question for you. It kind of just came to me from that. It's like, what are the NASCAR fans afraid of with change? Why is there, in that particular sport, why does there seem to be so much uproar over change? I mean, it's happening. It happens since the dawn of time. I mean, all the local tracks, we're always trying to make sure that, you know, there's more equality and somebody doesn't run away with anything. But why does it seem that they are so adverse to change?
Well, on one hand, this is a very complicated question. I think it's probably something worth exploring in a long form or even a story. I think NASCAR fans aren't aware that this is the same amount of change we've always had. I feel like the sport has always evolved. If there wasn't change, we would still be driving convertibles
right.
on the Daytona Beach street course.
Right, right.
You know, things are constantly changing. And I think because of social media, the internet, Facebook, Twitter being as prevalent as it is today, we're all just collectively more aware of change. And I think the amount of change that we've been exposed to over the past decade and a half has been maybe somewhat overwhelming, but I'll say this, to NASCAR fans' credit, I don't think we care as much about the change if NASCAR had a better batting average on their change. The chase was probably something that really wasn't necessary for its time. Has it created some good narratives? Has there been some good moments? Yeah, we had good moments and good championship battles before anyway. The Car of Tomorrow was just a dreadful change. I mean, that's something that if NASCAR could go back and, you know, rip into space-time and eradicate that car from existence, they would. There's just so many things that NASCAR has not hit on. Different tracks leaving the schedule, Wilkesboro, Atlanta losing a date, Rockingham going away. There's just a lot of change that fans have not appreciated, and I think that's really what overwhelms them more so than change in general. And they're afraid that NASCAR is going to take something else away that they do like in their pursuit of trying to capture the attention of this fan who currently isn't even interested. If NASCAR had devoted time on making changes that would benefit the current fans, I think this would be a different conversation. And I wrote earlier this week that I think finally, for the first time in like 5 or 6 years, NASCAR is no longer in denial about the state of their product and the state of the general interest of their sport. And the changes that we're talking about now in 2017 are fundamentally different than the ones we were making in 2003, 2007, because these changes are being made to help the racing product rather than just change for the sake of change, because Brian France wanted to reshape the sport in his own image. And I think that's something that everyone needs to kind of wrap their heads around a little bit.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Matt. I think I gave us both an opportunity to kind of rant just a little bit there. So that was great. Hey, really appreciate you coming on this morning. How can I maybe help you get 17 more followers?
You know, that's an awesome question. The best way to find me on Twitter is at Matt Weaver, AW. If you're a fan of all forms of racing, I'm a racing guy. I'm not only a NASCAR reporter, I also do IndyCar short track racing. So if you're a racing guy, I'm a racing guy. Let's be friends. I'm also on Facebook, Matt Weaver Motorsports.
Awesome, man. Hey, really appreciate you coming on this morning. We'll see you at a track soon.
Hey, absolutely. I enjoy it. Talk to you guys later.
Awesome. Well, that was Matt Weaver. You can check him out at Auto Week and, of course, follow him on Twitter and Facebook. Hey, we're going to talk some Spec Miata racing. That's right. If you want to get involved in some local racing, we're going to tell you about a fairly cost-effective way to get started even this season. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
ESPN Radio 1017 The Team with David Swope, the fastest radio host in the West.
Carry on, carry on. Nothing really matters.
Napa know-how.
Any car brave enough to withstand a decade's worth of multi-state family voyages is worth treating to some quality parts and Napa know-how. Coolant for the Death Valley trip, wiper blades for the Pacific Northwest, air fresheners for the Southwest chili cook-off. Yeah, with some quality parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep your road warrior running longer, stronger, for many more vacations to come. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
The Albuquerque Police Department is currently hiring for police cadets and offering a $5,000 sign-on bonus and immediate hiring, which means you are employed as soon as you are accepted into the academy. APD is now enrolling applicants that meet their qualifications for June's academy, and they want to know if you are ready to take the next step. A career with APD is exciting and rewarding, offering great benefits, paid vacation, and a $2,000 relocation reimbursement for out-of-town applicants. Apply online at apdonline.com, apdonline.com, or call 807-POLICE. That's 807-POLICE.
When choosing a body shop, you want to choose the best for your car.
Sort of like choosing a coach for your favorite team.
Exactly. Somebody who is good.
Car Crafters was once again named Best of City for collision repair.
Somebody with experience.
Car Crafters has been around for 35 years.
And somebody you can trust.
Car Crafters serves thousands of New Mexicans each year, and they keep coming back.
Guess Car Crafters is the best choice for my car.
Car Crafters, it's like it never.
Taste India right here in Albuquerque. At A Taste of India, their dishes are made from scratch and fresh daily with recipes straight from the heart of India. Pop by for lunch Monday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. for an all-you-can-eat buffet for just $9.99. Enjoy India favorites like basmati rice, sag paneer spinach with homemade cheese, tandoori chicken, all available on their lunch buffet for $9.99. Vegan and non-vegan dishes and delicious drinks like their mango lassi and dew soda. Only at A Taste of India. Located at 1605 Wantabo, just north of Constitution on the west side of Wantabo.
Summer may be a break for students, but for parents, summer can be stressful. No need to worry. The McDermott Athletic Center's Summer Day Camp is the perfect place for your children to spend their summer. With activities like basketball, swimming, ice skating, arts and crafts, and even snowball fights, the MAC is the ideal place for a fun and active summer. Now accepting registration for full and weekly sessions. Visit themacsports.com or call 892-9222 for details. That's 892-9222. We'll see you at the Mac.
Documents piling up that need shredding? Join Oxford Wealth Advisors for our annual Community Shred Day on Friday, April 21st from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy complimentary shredded pork sandwiches while you watch your documents being securely shredded on site. We want to help you keep your identity safe. All are welcome. Call Oxford Wealth Advisors with any questions. 891-9800. One more example of Oxford Wealth Advisors giving back to our clients and the community. When you give out good, good comes back.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 1017 The Team. Matt Weaver's a great guy, and I love when I get fired up about... I came from a road racing background, and so, you know, all this talk about, you know, circle track, and as a matter of fact, I remember my dad actually told me that they were going to pull my competitive license for road racing because I went out and competed in a circle track event. So I just think it's funny that they're different communities. So joining us this morning, actually, it's Mike Travers, and with Travers... Mechanical, but he's also a Miata racing enthusiast. So welcome to the show this morning, Mike.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
There, you need to move a little closer there, buddy. But let's talk a little bit about, I mean, I know you and I, we're very familiar with the Miata, but maybe for the listeners that aren't familiar, talk a little bit about the Miata and kind of how you got involved with spec Miata racing.
Well, a little bit of spec Miata. I have found that it is the probably the biggest amateur group in the country. How I got into it is I was doing some autocrossing with a Camaro, and I felt like I just had a knack for it, and it was enjoying that. Well, did some of that in Arizona and Colorado. Well, I was kind of really wanting, I saw some road racing and some real competitive racing, and I was like, I really wanted to find out how you get into this. So started asking around out at the track and found a couple contacts. There was a gentleman named Soren, who a lot of people in the Miata world knew here, and back, he's in Colorado now. But I went and had a probably an hour conversation with him about what was required. I'm also a Porsche fan, so I went over and talked to a gentleman named Russ Kelso, who's the Porsche guru here in town. Kind of started getting some ideas and found that the Miata was just the most cost-effective way to get into racing. So talked to Soren for a while. I ended up buying my first 1990 street car, and then Soren and I built the car, turned it into a full race car, and then I started with the Winter Series out there with the Miata group. And just absolutely fell in love with it. A lot of great guys. They really welcomed me. And as time went on, now I've got three Miatas. I got my 15-year-old daughter racing my original car. I painted it black and pink for her. And now I'm in the process of building a Porsche Boxster to get in to doing some Porsche racing with the PCA. But the Miatas are just so much fun, and you can get into racing for less than $10,000, you know, for a car, for like, you know, 1990 to a 98 series, and then they get a little bit more expensive than 99, 2000. But now I'm racing with NASA on the Rocky Mountain region, been doing that about 4 years, racing the championships twice, one's at Button Willow, the other one, I was happy to be on the track at Laguna Seca with 35 cars on the track. This year's championships are at Thunder Hill.
Awesome, awesome. So, well, one thing that I think that is neat about them is how close they run. You know, I mean, because it's a light car, it's a sports car, it's not an overly technical car, so it's easier for people to get started. But you can be competitive right off the bat. If somebody was listening and was thinking about, hey, that might be something I was interested in, what would be their first opportunity? Maybe come out and see the cars on the track and maybe start to get some more information.
Next Saturday and Sunday, there's the swims event. The Miatas will be out there on Sunday. There might be a couple out there on Saturday. But next weekend is the out there at San Diego will be a good time to kind of see the cars in action. Then there'll be Miatas. There'll be some Porsche. There'll be some vintage. There'll be some performance driving. Kind of a real big array of different types of racing that you can get into.
And so you are there cars out there that maybe are available for purchase now? I mean, that you might be aware of?
There are a few cars, a few local cars that are in town that are for sale. A couple of the guys that have moved into the 99s or 2000s. I know there's a couple like 90, 91s out there for sale. And, you know, you can get into those cars for most of the time less than $7,500, pretty much all race ready, ready to go.
Wow.
So.
And if somebody, you know, wanted to get some more information, could they reach out to you? Could they give you a call?
Absolutely. They can call me at any time. My name is Mike Travers with Travers Mechanical. My email is michaeltravers@traversmechanical.com. They can always reach out to me in that way.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's super easy. I mean, your name at Travers Mechanical. Well, I really appreciate you coming out. And, of course, we'll be out there next weekend as well. And we're actually going to do a live report from the grid there. So next Saturday. But really appreciate you coming in this morning.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. We're really trying to grow the group, and it's definitely a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming out. Well, Kelly, thank you for another good show. And, of course, FM Sports Saturday is on deck with Fred and Marty, and a lot of great things coming on, including go out today at noon, and you can see Missouri State versus UNM in college baseball. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Thank you for listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report presented by Napa Auto Parts, Your Wood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Join us again next week where your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it.
...1017 KQTM Rio Rancho Albuquerque, your hometown radio station.